Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our continuing 2017-18 preseason podcast.
Woohoo!
The American Athletic Conference. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, with a smaller panel than normal tonight, but still only the top plus the puppet. We've got John Stalica below me, Matt Zukowski off to one side, and the puppet.
Why did you put me down here? I want to be up there. Put me up there.
Well, why don't you, Matt, just switch seats then?
I can't do that.
This is the American Athletic Conference preview, like we said, and let's kind of get right into it with the American, which has started to get better as a conference. And the big offseason news, of course, Matt, was the addition of Wichita State. Which is what probably makes this conference into a conference that the level of conference is going to be this year.
However they did it, they got their way to like basically a current top 20 program in their league, and now they're at least probably unquestionably seventh best league. And this year, I could see that maybe being better than the Pac-12, especially if things fall apart in Arizona and USC. So it's a good league this year. It should. I'd be shocked if it puts less than three teams in, and who knows, four or five if everything breaks right.
It's a great move for Wichita State. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of the Valley, especially in the classic format. The Creighton-Wichita State rivalry was really good, and then you had Northern Iowa. I was a fan of that, and part of me misses that, but another part of me is happy to see a program like Wichita State, which is an excellent basketball program that is very accomplished, go from playing in a conference with sub-NIT teams to playing in a conference with multiple NCAA tournament teams every year. Not that the Valley failed to get multiple teams in from time to time, but this is a great move. They're in with other top 25 teams, and instead of having one or two opponents that you're maybe looking forward to, there's four, five, six. I'm a fan. I'm glad it worked out. As somebody that's very critical of realignment, I was a fan of this.
Well, you were seeing a lot of very high preseason rankings for Wichita State. KenPom has them fourth in the nation heading into the season. John, this is a 31-win team last year, albeit in the Missouri Valley as opposed to the American. That brings everybody back, is it not?
Yep. I mean, if you saw some of our podcasts last year, we were a little critical for Wichita during the year because they hadn't played as strong of a schedule as what you would typically expect from them. But from this year, they've beat that up quite a bit. They're going to be part of the Maui Invitational that also includes Cal and either Marquette or VCU in the second round. And I think Notre Dame is on the opposite side of the bracket. They also go to Baylor. They go to Oklahoma State. And then they also play Oklahoma on a neutral court. And other notable under-the-radar games include South Dakota State and Florida Gulf Coast at home. So quite a bit of meat. And Charleston.
Yeah, the Charleston game's great.
As a home game, but maybe it is a neutral court game. David, let's talk about the players here at Wichita State itself and this team. Now, the biggest story heading into the season, not quite 100% healthy with Shamet and McDuffie both injured heading into the year.
Yeah, and I do think that they're going to struggle early because of that. We're probably going to see them drop a couple games that you would normally expect them to win. But having said that, I mean, Wichita State's had some great years where they also got out of the gate a little slow. They got out of the gate a little slow last year. I think they only were, they lost like two of their first four or something like that. And they were in a tournament where they ended up losing two games. I forget which one they were in. I know Louisville was in it with them. They lost that game. Baylor was in that tournament.
The Atlantis.
Was it Atlantis? Yeah. Okay. And I think we could see them, but unlike last year, they're going to have the chances to bounce back from that much more effectively than they did a year ago. I still think that it was crappy that they got a 10 seed, and I can guarantee you Dayton feels the same way, and Kentucky was probably thinking very much the same thing in the round of 32. Regardless of what their profile was, I mean, this was not a 36-40 team last year. It was a top 25 team. And I think that by the end of the year, they will be a top 10 team. It wouldn't surprise me to see them as a protected seed at all. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them deep in the tournament, even if they do stub their toes a little bit in November and December until they get entirely healthy.
And Matt, the good point there that David made was about their schedule last year. They lost the games to Louisville, Michigan State, Oklahoma State, the only three real tests they gave themselves non-conference, split with Illinois State during the regular season. Those were their only conference chances. They have a couple more chances non-conference, but even more importantly, even if they don't do that great non-conference, they're going to have those other chances during the American season that you don't get when you're playing Bradley and Drake every couple nights.
Yeah. Like, just look at it here, we'll go in depth more, but I have seven teams from the American qualifying for the NCAA or NIT. So that's 7 out of 12. So roughly, I know they have a little bit of an unbalanced schedule, but you figure they'll have double-digit opportunities to get decent quality wins, plus their non-conference. So this should help them get the seed more in line with what they deserve and not necessarily trying to figure out what their profile and their metrics all deserve.
Well, John, the other team that people are talking about in the American is, of course, the best team in the state of Kentucky, arguably, this year. The Wildcats may have a dispute with that, but the Cincinnati Bearcats not playing in Cincinnati this year.
I don't know if you'd call them the best team in Kentucky, but certainly the most experienced, especially with guys like Kyle Washington. And you also have a transfer from Sacred Heart and Kane Broom, who is also a prolific scorer there. He won't be asked to shoulder as much of the load this year, but they'll also have pieces like Cumberland, Gary Clark. So this is probably going to be Mick Cronin's most prolific offensive team, but defense is always going to come first in Bearcat country.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, this front court of Gary Clark and Kyle Washington may be the best in the conference.
It's best in the conference. It's probably one of the 10 or 12 best in the country. And Washington can do a little bit of everything. Clark, great rebounder. Just a nice combo to wear. I think they mesh together well in that, and they're tough to stop, especially in the American, where you're especially the lower-level teams don't have that type of quality on the front line.
Well, David, do you think this may be Mick Cronin's best team yet at Cincinnati heading into the season?
It's up there. He's had a couple of other good ones. The team from, Louisville's only year in the American, I thought that they were really good that particular year. I can't remember. Was that 14?
That was 13-14. Yeah,
that team was really good. I know they didn't get out of the round of 64, but I thought that had more to do with the Harvard team that they played and just a bad matchup than it did. I don't think that you can just – shut down everything that they did that season because they didn't get out of the round of the 64. But it is a really, really good team. And, again, I don't think Mick Cronin is as well as he's done there. I don't think Cincinnati's been a protected seed. Statisticians, is that right?
I don't think – no, they've been a six a couple of times. Yeah, they were lost in that 5-12 game, but they've never, I think, been a top four.
I think this could be the year they get it. I really do. Their out of conference schedule sets them up. The league is a little bit stronger, as we've already pointed out. I think they get the protected seed this year. So I guess it is one of the best ones, but they've had a couple of other good ones too.
They've gotten first place because of an odd coin flip, but I don't think they've ever had a protected seed.
Yeah, the coin flip was crazy.
Well, Stalika, a stat that I'm sure you love as a Xavier fan, talking about Cincinnati, the last 4 years, four tournament appearances, two wins, have not gotten beyond the round of 32, and twice in the first round getting knocked out. You know, is that the problem here? Is this team, this may be a team that's not built for March?
Well, the last time they went to the Sweet 16 was back in 2012 when they lost to eventual Final Four team Ohio State. I thought the pieces were there last year for them to go to the Sweet 16, but they had a rough draw in that they had to go to Sacramento and play UCLA in the second round.
Yeah.
Is that maybe Mick Cronin's only Sweet 16 as well?
I think he did 11 too. No.
2011, exactly? He lost in the second round to UConn.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they somehow played UConn. Okay, so.
Yeah.
That was the year of the 11 Big East teams.
Yeah, and that's how you had like a second round, two of them, because you had Marquette Syracuse was a second round game too.
Yeah.
David, beyond these top two teams of Wichita State and Cincinnati, I think that there is a drop off in this conference, but who do you look at as the next best team here?
Yeah, there is a drop-off. Who would be the next best? It's kind of hard to say because they're kind of just grouped together there. Who did you have as third? I remember thinking it wasn't them.
I think there's about a four-team grouping here. My third-place team when I wrote my American preview weeks ago was Central Florida. I was very high on them at that point. I love, I mean, Taco Fall, I mean, he's a monster down low. He's just getting better and better. B.J. Taylor, great player. Problem is they're relying a lot on Aubrey Dawkins coming in, and Matt, he's now out for the season.
Yeah, I believe it's a shoulder injury in that. And that's hurt because, I mean, he's a legitimate high major talent. He was at Michigan. He had many other high major offers when he bloomed late his senior year and was a rotation player. I think he averaged like 6.5 a game. And that was when Michigan had some depth on the wing, as we saw last year. So he's a very good – he was going to be probably 14-point-per-game maybe type guy for them. And now that hurts because he would have been the perfect – yeah, B.J. Taylor, you had the point guard, Taco Fall, the big man. He was your wing, but now you've lost him and you're back to kind of being a pretty good two-man show, but not total tournament roster, especially in a league like this now where you have – a bunch of pretty good teams.
Yeah, and a week ago, had you asked me that question, I know UConn, much to at least my delight, not so much that I hate UConn, it's just Lee Delvecchio. It's so much fun when they're not doing well. Yeah. But with everything they had coming back and as healthy as they were, because one of the things that snake bit them the last year was their injuries, and I thought that they would at least be back to, you know, top half of the bracket, 8 seed or better. And I'm kind of breaking one of my own rules here by looking at an exhibition game, but the exhibition game rules are different now. And to see them get absolutely blasted by Providence kind of had me holding my nose. And does this UConn team have it this year? Because I kind of did like them.
Well, David, this is a very good Providence team, first of all. And I agree with you, though. Jalen Adams, Larry or Gilbert, all healthy. I got some problems in the front court, though.
They got blasted.
They got blasted, but it's not like they lost to Lemoyne. It's not like they lost to, you know, a non-D1 team. They lost to a very good D1 team. But, Slika, your thoughts on that UConn team? Do you think they can come back from this preseason loss that David's using to write them off to actually be a tournament-caliber team?
We'll probably get into it in a later podcast, but they could probably use another Jalen Adams that actually resides over in the St. Bonaventure. Yeah. But I think, as David had said, there were about 5 or 6 guys that had gotten hurt for the Huskies, and we saw it last year when they were losing games early against the likes of Wagner and BU. This year, they're still going to be part of the PK80 Invitational in Portland, where they'll be on the same half as Oregon, Michigan State, and DePaul. I mean, they should be able to get at least one win before the final game out of that group. But other than that, they do have games at Arizona and at home against Villanova in January. And somewhat of a fixture game against Syracuse at Madison Square Garden, but not too much else to really look at this year.
Well, let's go on to one more team here, Matt, and this is a team that actually was in the NCAA tournament last year that's getting a lot of preseason love that I'm not certain they really deserve. Maybe you disagree with me, though. SMU did win 30 games last year, does have Shake Milton back, probably your conference player of the year. But what else do they have?
Yeah, that's about – I loved them last year. I'm not quite as high this year. It's good. Basically, had 2 of their transfers, both backcourt players, hit. And that's Jamal McMurray from USF. And the kid I'm interested in, Jimmy Witt, who had some real nice offers coming into college but didn't quite work out in Arkansas, now here at SMU. What if that both of them are going to have to compliment Milton in the backcourt? And then what scares me more is, man, they have like nothing of experience in the front court other than maybe Okoye Ogwu, and if his knees aren't still good enough.
This is a big test because I'm a big fan of Jankovic. And I think this is sort of a litmus test for him. Does he have what it takes to lose what they've lost and reload and still get this team to the tournament? I don't know. I'm curious about SMU more than I am certain about them.
Wasn't Jankovic also at Illinois State?
He was.
Yes.
I'm not sure I would trust him if that's the case.
Yeah.
He didn't do a half bad job there.
Yeah, he won 20 games 4 years in a row or something like that. He didn't do bad at all there.
But it seems like, just like Dan Muller, they're not able to get over the hump for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like I said, I think there's about four teams in this grouping here. We've discussed UCF, UConn, and SMU already. John, what about Temple?
Temple is another team that has been down in recent years, but I think they've got a decent chance to rebound. I like their chances a little bit better than, let's say, a team like Memphis, who's going to be completely reloading in Tubby Smith's second year.
Yeah, I have to scroll to find my Memphis notes. Give me about 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Matt, let's go to you. You got Nechanoya, Josh Brown, supposedly healthy. Maybe Shazalston get a little bit better here.
I'm actually pretty high at Temple, and now, especially with UCF's injuries, I have them third, and I think this is going to at least bring three tournament bids in. So I think Temple will be a tournament team. Also, name to watch, Quinton Rose, who great showings at the USA U19 tryouts and that. He's grown to be about 6'7" and kind of like all-around 2-3-4 type player that's so in vogue today. And then, yeah, you got Josh Brown back. You got Trey Lowe back from injury. Shiz Alston showed some nice signs last year. Then Echenoia might be a future NBA player. So, no, there is some really nice talent there. And we know Fran Dunphy can coach. So, this year, I think pretty positive they're going to be a tournament team.
Wow.
And, David, they have a typical Temple-like pretty tough schedule as well, with teams like Wisconsin, St. Joe's, Villanova, Georgia, right. South Carolina on the schedule here.
Yeah, I would rate them as a possible sleeper. I'm not ready to put them into the NCAA tournament yet. Again, they're one of those teams that I think could be improved, but I haven't really made up my mind whether or not they are. I mean, not that I disagree with anything Matt said, but I could see them not being so improved that they're in the tournament. But we're going to find out. We're going to learn a lot about them early. And if they pick up some of those wins, it elevates them, and it kind of elevates the conference. Because one of the things this league was missing last year was big out-of-conference wins.
I think one of the jokes from 2 years ago, when Temple actually won the regular season, they were prepared to play the cream of the crop in the American, but they weren't prepared to play teams like East Carolina and South Florida for some reason.
Yeah.
David, one other team that we always have to discuss when we talk about the American, I know that one of your favorite teams.
Oh, yes.
How about the Golden Hurricane and Frank Haith's team?
I know what you had said. They have a couple of decent players back, and they could do well, but they will not. I think they really continue to digress, and I think they finish in the bottom quarter of the conference. Not big on them, but Chad, if I may.
Yes.
If I'm I have something here in regards to Tulsa.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Well, again, I'll just say this. It is the holiday. We normally don't do commercials on these shows, but it's the holiday season. Halloween was just the other day. We're getting into Thanksgiving, and we have an item here for sale that we think that could enhance you and your family's holiday experience. Let me get it up here on the screen. It retails for $149.99. It is the Frank Haith holiday fireplace. There it is. For you and yours.
Oh my God. Okay.
There we go. As we speak right now.
Yeah, the Frank Haith holiday. And we do this, I mean, we do this for the people. That's why we do anything.
Anyway. Okay,
I'm gonna take way to South Florida.
well, let's talk about a couple other teams real quick here. Matt, Houston was starting pretty good last year. They take a step back this year, or do you think they can stay in contention?
I think they'll be sort of the bottom of this pack of teams we talked about outside the Golden Dumpster Fire. And then, I mean, Rob Gray is awesome. He might be the best player in that league, but what is there around him? That'll be it.
Yeah, I just don't know how they make up for the loss of Dotson there. I just don't think the pieces are there for that. Slika, you mentioned Memphis earlier. Any shot that Memphis does anything this year with Tubby Smith coming in with pretty much nothing for him to build on with everybody gone now.
Tubby Smith pulled a rabbit out of his hat 2 years ago at Texas Tech, but when you lose guys like the Lawson brothers, it's I just don't see how Memphis is going to be able to get into the top half this year.
Yeah, they just have no personnel. I mean, none.
Yeah. Matt, a team that I think is a little bit intriguing, I'll tell you, I want to throw over to you here. Tulane is finally starting to build a little bit of something.
No, yeah, I think Dudley V's recruiting much higher level than his predecessors. Hasn't totally, like, hasn't landed the big four-star guy they started to compete for, but I think he keeps doing it in time to land it. The one that I was going to quickly mention on Memphis, they do have a couple of freshmen I like, David Nickelberry and Jalen Johnson. They're probably not going to be stars, especially in a good league like this right away. But down the road, if they're patient with Tubby, I think they could be real nice players. And I think Tubby actually will get Memphis back on track and give him the patience. But who knows that fan base?
I think a side note as it relates to Tulane, they actually beat LSU in a charity exhibition on Halloween night. This was actually the first time that LSU visited Devlin Arena. And I want to say since 1969, if I'm reading my notes correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another good result from these charity games. But go ahead. Yes, Chad.
Yeah, David, two other teams we haven't mentioned yet or maybe briefly mentioned. East Carolina, South Florida. Start with East Carolina. Jeff Lebo, probably his last year there.
Most likely, and I'm a little surprised that he wasn't able to get them going. I thought that I was excited for East Carolina when they hired him, and on top of that, it looked like for a time he was progressing them. He got them to a couple of postseason tournaments, albeit not the NIT, I don't think. But it looked like that they were progressing in the right direction. I don't know why this program can't seem to get its basketball team going. At least to the point of being an NIT-caliber team some of the time. I mean, they've just never done anything. And this is a program that's had some very – they've had some very successful football teams. It's in a good area, like in North Carolina. You'd think – I know it's somewhat remote, but you'd think they'd be able to put together a halfway decent basketball team more often than what they do with the resources they have, with the campus community that they have. Why can't they get it going? And here they are in the bottom two and maybe the bottom – well, no, they're not as bad as South Florida. But why aren't they better?
This is a program that once had Dave Odom as a head coach in the late 70s and early 80s, but he saw the writing on the wall and moving to Virginia as the top assistant for Terry Holland. That actually was a promotion at the time and would still be now.
And you know what? These East Carolina fans, if this team got good, they would come out like
crazy. Oh, my God.
They really would. It just yeah. It is kind of mind-boggling that how bad this team has been. I mean, I think they're going to have to come up with a huge name for the next head coach, assuming that Lebo's gone after this year.
Right. They're in a good conference. They have good media. They have a real strong campus community and fan base. And like you said, if they ever did anything, they would be – I mean, what we've seen at SMU would be probably even more true at East Carolina. They'd be rammed every night.
Well, Matt, let me toss the last team over to you here. South Florida, Brian Gregory coming in. Can he save this program? And I mean save it.
I know the answer to this question.
Here's the deal. I think he could get them to the 8-10 range.
Buzzer.
No, I know. It's just, he felt like he kind of underachieved a little bit at Dayton, and then at Georgia Tech never found his stride. But – I think he's an okay coach. I think he'll get halfway decent talent down there, but they'll never be in the top tier of this league. But he could maybe get, like I said, the 8-10 range. This year, they're going to be awful. They're going to go like 2 conference wins or something. Like they'll.
Well, Sleek, let me start with you here. I want to run through each of you. We'll talk about how many teams we think do make it out of the American and who the champion is. Let me start with you. What's your call on the conference?
I'm going to say 2 locks in Wichita State and Cincinnati, and I think I will go with Central Florida as my 3rd team out of the American. Not a lock by any means, though.
Okay, are you going 3 only? You're not going. You don't want to go Jordan Madden, go 4 or 5?
I'm just going to go with 3 for now.
Well, you actually echoed exactly where I am on the conference. Also, I think Wichita State wins it. I got Cincinnati. I have UCF barely as my last one. Would not be surprised to see a team like Temple or SMU more likely Temple steal that third bid. Matt, you think it's more than three, though, right?
Oh, I'll plus, I had it at four bids before the Aubrey Dawkins injury. I think that probably knocks UCF out. And that's all. I have it three bids. Yeah, Wichita, the conference champs, Cincy. Well, they'll be close. They'll both be 15-3, 14-4. And that I think like Temple, something like 11-7, 12-6 gets in somewhere, anywhere from like a 10 seed to play in range game. And then, yeah, UCF probably just misses. SMU will sort, I think, but they be on the periphery of the talk, and then maybe UConn. But yeah, I think three bids, and then another three or four more for the NIT, which is still a good upgrade for this league.
Well, yeah, they had two bids last year. They were both six seeds, but I think we could be looking at David a lot higher than a six seed for the right. champion, or multiple teams much higher than six seeds here. But yeah. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm going four. I'm going Wichita to win the league, Cincinnati right behind him. I think they're both protected seeds. And then I'm going with SMU. I think Jankovic and company do get it done. I think they're going to finish a lot better than where they started. It seems like that was what we saw out of them last year. And the other team I'm going to go with is Temple. I just don't have the faith in UConn. It isn't just that I saw the exhibition game. It's just that I saw it, and it reaffirmed the same struggles that I think they're going to have with coaching and just yelling as a program. Another prediction, I think Tulane and Houston finish ahead of Tulsa. I know Houston has personnel issues. They lost a lot, but I still – like the direction their program's going. Houston is jacked. I mean, it is just the city's in a frenzy right now. I've never seen anything like it. So much Houston Cougar fried. It's inexplicable.
Yeah, David, that's what it is. It's about the Houston Cougars.
We're recording this on November 1st, by the way.
Yeah, but yeah, we are recording this. While we're recording this, we are watching Game 7 of the World Series. So just
what's that got to do with anything?
Some of us are. You know what? There's one other question I want to throw out to each of you real quick, or maybe just a couple of you here. But we talked Wichita at the start of the show. Is this a Final Four caliber Wichita State team? Yes. David? Are they
it is. That doesn't mean they'll get there, but I think that it is Final Four caliber. Yeah. I mean, they were – I thought that they were Elite Eight caliber last year. I mean, they basically had a possession at the end of the game that could have won them the game against Kentucky, and if they had, I think they would have been in the Elite Eight, and they bring everyone back. So, yeah, it's not crazy to think that they are Final Four caliber. And, yes, I know that I said earlier that I didn't think Temple was going to get in, but I changed my mind.
And Matt, do you agree this is the final? This Wichita State team is good enough to make the Final Four? Are they that good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I expect coming to March, they'll be one of the six or eight teams I'll be strongly considering. And it should be, yeah, who knows? Maybe win it all. Like, I have Villanova as my preseason national champion for spoiling the future show, but hey, it wouldn't stun me if Wichita did it themselves.
Well, we are going to be doing coming up next week our preseason bracketology, and during the course of that show, we will be giving Final Four picks. And that's why I wanted to mention this Wichita State Final Four thing, because somebody in this panel may have them in their Final Four, if not further. Just to say. But yeah. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for our American preview. We will be back. Check out the website more. We've got more preseason previews coming, a lot more to come still. So on behalf of John Stalica, Matt Sikowski, and the Puppet, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll talk to you again real soon.